It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, Dustin Hawkinson and Greg Picko here. We are continuing our conversation about Penn State's 2015 recruiting class. It's a class that leaves its mark on the current roster, and also I think it's there's some history lessons involved here in terms of how Penn State recruited, who developed well, who did not develop well. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they've got a special deal for Keystone Sports Network listeners for the Blue-White game, which is just around the corner. You check out GoPSURV.com. They've got a great deal for you. They're starting at just $350 for a group of four. You can arrive Friday, stay through Sunday in one of their awesome RVs. You get a free 409 Tailgate Club meal included in that price. You get a shuttle back and forth from Beaver Stadium. So all you have to worry about is that tailgate experience and letting it roll through the entire weekend. The game is free as well. So you really talk about cost control. What you pay is not very much on a per-person basis. Less than you'd pay for a hotel room. You can contact Mark today for more details, 1-800-519-8467, or you can check out GoPSURV.com to get more information there. So we really focused in the previous segment. If you didn't catch it, check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app. You can check it out there. We focused on the big picture of what the 2015 class was, what the circumstances were around that class. I want to look more at the rankings themselves, but first, to look at the players who are still on the roster from that class. You had a bunch of guys transfer. You had some guys get hurt. You had some guys just not really make it. A couple discipline issues that ended up, kicking a guy like Daquan Kelly, a guy like Kamonte Carter off the team. Tommy Stevens, Robert Windsor, Steven Gonzalez, Garrett Taylor, John Reed, John Patricia, Nick Bowers, John Holland are guys who are still on the roster. So you see a core that has made its way through from 2015 when they arrived to now, where they're pretty prominent players in Penn State's plans. Stevens, obviously, one to circle as Penn State makes a transition here. But to go the original class ranking by 24/7 Sports, I just wanted to roll through that. Saquon Barkley, the top-rated player at the time, top-rated player coming out, obviously. John Reed, Garrett Taylor, Juwan Johnson, Ryan Bates, Sterling Jenkins, Manny Bowen, Kamonte Carter, Ryan Buchholz, who ended up retiring early due to injury, Paris Palmer from the JUCO ranks, Andre Robinson, who showed a little something, ended up transferring to Delaware, Irv Charles, Brandon Polk, Steven Gonzalez, Daquan Kelly, Jonathan Holland, Jake Cooper, Sharif Miller, Aaron Monroe, Tommy Stevens, Nick Bowers, Kevin Givens, John Patrician, Jarvis Miller, and Robert Windsor. As we mentioned previously, the tail end of that class is what helped define the class, because they got a lot of big-time gems from the three-star ranks in that class.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was sort of what Penn State needed at that point in time. I mean, they had to be very good about finding the quote-unquote diamonds in the rough, because there really wasn't an opportunity necessarily for them to go get a bunch of five-star and very high four-star recruits. Don't get me wrong, they found some in this cycle, but some of the four stars that they ended up getting maybe didn't have the impact that we thought they would. Brandon Polk is one of them. Urban Charles and Andre Robinson are two more. Paris Palmer, to an extent, is another one. Kamonte Carter, Manny Bowen, Sterling Jenkins. I mean, you talk about four stars that didn't really pan out the way you expected them to. This was that case. And then you had some three stars who overperformed and maybe performed more like four stars. Robert Windsor's a guy that comes to mind in that regard. Kevin Givens is a guy that comes to mind. I guess we can put Tommy Stevens in that category, sort of. But quite frankly, I think it's fair to say he's had a three-star recruit kind of career arc so far. Not necessarily his fault. He's been stuck behind the all-time winningest quarterback in program history. But, I think there is some validity to the folks, and I get a lot of it on social media, who ask, why are we just assuming Tommy Stevens can be the guy to take over now? Why are we just anointing him that based on what limited stuff we saw? And I think it's actually a fairly fair point. So he definitely needs to show it on the field. Sharif Miller's a three-star that seemingly has worked its way into the draft conversation at this point. So he obviously is a guy that maybe outperformed his stock as well. Of course, there were some guys that never really performed either.
I pulled up in the meantime. So Ross Tucker has ranked recruits. I think the 2015 class was the first one he did for us on the Keystone Sports Network. I just wanted to kind of run through some of the hot spots there. This was before these guys were playing. We're going to re-rank them based on what we've seen on the field. But I think Ross had a couple of these really pegged, and there were a couple that you just couldn't really see coming that that he didn't see coming either. So he had at number 23, Kevin Givens, which we didn't know whether he was a defensive end or a linebacker, let alone making a leap to defensive tackle at the time. Tommy Stevens was at number 22. Again, his development has been a pleasant surprise, I think. Sterling Jenkins wasn't high on him at 21. Robert Windsor at 20 and Steven Gonzalez at 19. Again, those were guys that were middling type prospects. You know, Steven Gonzalez was more highly regarded than Robert Windsor was coming out of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Let's see, John Patrician at 17, Paris Palmer at 16, Jake Cooper, Daquan Kelly, Cam Carter. A lot of the guys who ended up bolting were in the middle part of Ross's rankings, making our way the whole way down. Saquon Barkley at number 4. He was, I give him a hard time about that all the time, but you can't really blame a guy for not seeing Saquon Barkley unfolding. But where I would give Ross credit, Sharif Miller, he had at number 3 in the class before anybody really saw that coming. And Ross's explanation at the time was that he's a huge get because he can rush inside, he can rush outside, did it from a 2-point stance, did it from a 3-point stance, tremendous quickness, closing speed and effort. He's a guy I think that has the most potential out of this group to play off the edge. He has the best chance, I think, to be special. So a lot of that stuff, not just the ranking, but the analysis was on point. And I know Ross is in the middle of doing the 2019 rankings too. You can check those out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. There's always going to be gotcha moments, but I think Sharif Miller is a good example of why you listen to what Ross has to say about this class. Had Juwan Johnson at number 2, I think for good reason. Manny Bowen, you know, if things didn't go kind of off the rails for him, who knows where Manny Bowen's career could have gone for Penn State. So I don't think either one of those were off base either. I've focused a lot over the years on giving him a hard time about Saquon Barkley at number 4, but I think the top of his rankings for sure were really good, really, really strong, really on point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously with Barkley, you know, there were a lot of people back then really debating how it would shake out between Saquon Barkley and Andre Robinson, and I don't really remember there being much of a consensus. I think people from the Harrisburg area leaned toward Andre because, yeah, I mean, I think that.
So Andy Shea and I did a little segment called Agree to Disagree. This was one of our first Agree to Disagree segments where we basically made a statement and he took one side of it, I took the other. Most of the time it was pretty authentic. He really believed one thing, I really believed the other. In this running back debate, we argued who was going to be the better player, and Andy went with Andre Robinson, I went with Saquon Barkley.
And you'll never miss an opportunity to remind us of that, correct?
Yeah, I'm so happy you brought that up because I wasn't gonna mention it. Well, I probably was.
You probably were. Yeah.
But anyway,
Let's be honest.
But that was a real conversation that was being had.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely was. And you know, Andre's now down at Delaware. I think he's still down at Delaware. Yeah. So you know, he's trying to continue his career. And look, Barkley was a once in a lifetime generational talent, and sometimes that happens, and you don't always see it coming. But in this particular instance, I think it's quite clear that, you know, looking back on it, maybe there were some signs that Barkley was going to be the more productive college player than Andre Robinson, but definitely nothing to indicate, at least as far as I'm concerned, that the incredible way in which Barkley really took his game to the next level.
So why don't we start to re-rank these guys bit and work our way through. Obviously, Saquon Barkley at number 1. In my book, based on what he accomplished in his career and the impact that he had, I got Sharif Miller at number 2. It's an interesting group, really 2 through like 10 guys who have produced, guys who have some promise to produce in the future, which was hard to weigh into it too. I've got Ryan Bates at 3 because what was he? He was a 3-year starter.
Correct.
Rock solid, played multiple positions, played inside, played outside. You can nitpick about how good, how well he performed on the field versus how much you expected from him. But the fact remains, if you get 30 plus starts out of a guy on the offensive line, a guy who leaves a year before he, you know, I think that's a big win. John Reed looked like more of himself at the tail end of last year, and I expect that to continue into this year after missing the previous year because of injury. I've got Tommy Stevens at five because of the opportunity that is ahead of him right now. The way that people talk about him, if he's as good as James Franklin seems to think he can be, he's going to stabilize the quarterback depth chart and then some in 2019. Kevin Givens, you know, it was pretty spectacular, I think, to go from where he was as a three-star recruit who was a tweener, somewhere between a defensive end and linebacker, which hurt him a lot in national rankings, to being not only a defensive tackle, but somebody that didn't really artificially balloon up. He's the was the strongest pound-for-pound player on the team probably the last few years. He, too, left a year early to go to the NFL. I would have never predicted that one coming. Garrett Taylor, I think he's in line for a career year. Was very good in his first start, his starting debut as a safety. Opened his career as a cornerback. Showed, really, that it's not as easy as you might think to make the transition from cornerback to safety.
Right.
I've got Steven Gonzalez at number eight. He's another. He's in same deal as Ryan Bates. I don't think he was has been as dynamic as Ryan Bates, but you're going to have gotten, what, 35, 40 starts out of him by the time the 2019 season is over. Robert Windsor has a chance to move up. I got him at number nine, but if he's got, he had, what, 7.5 sacks last year. If he's even more disruptive this year and helps stabilize that D-line, I think his legacy will improve. Juwan Johnson, I got him at number 10. He could have been more than what we saw from him. Maybe in Oregon he will. Manny Bowen at 11. Ryan Buchholz at 12. I've got Nick Bowers at 13, a chance to move up with a nice senior year. A lot of people seem to think that he's got some NFL potential, just his size, speed, foot quickness, that kind of thing. Brandon Polk, not much of an impact. He saw a few splashy plays. His speed never was quite harnessed. Now he's moving on. Paris Palmer, he did some playing at tackle at a time where they needed warm bodies, so I think there was value in that. Irv Charles probably could have been more the most reckless special teams player you will ever see in your life.
Yeah, how about
Jonathan Holland still around at tight end. Jake Cooper, injuries derailed things for him. John Patrician, same deal for him at 19. Jarvis Miller made the transition from safety to linebacker, never quite broke through. Aaron Monroe, kind of the same deal. He's on the transfer market. Andre Robinson has some flashes early. Ended up transferring to Delaware. I think he saw the writing on the wall with a number of recruits coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
Sterling Jenkins, not much. Kamonte Carter and Daquan Kelly, I've got at 24 and 25 just because they were guys who kicked off the team. Those are the only guys.
No reasonable.
Sterling Jenkins.
Reasonable.
Only guys below Sterling Jenkins on my re-rankings. Do you see anything you vehemently disagree with?
No, I think you pretty much got the hit the nail right on the head. Obviously, there could be some debate maybe in the middle of the pack there, but there's not really much to debate about the top and the bottom.
All right. Well, we're going to move on. Our player profile series is going to roll on. We're going to kick things off with Donovan Johnson in just a moment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.